and welcome to the Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Tom.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Reggie.
And this week we are coming at you with a very topical episode. favorite 70s movies. This was a seat of our pants decision, seat of my pants decision. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
But we knew it was coming.
Yes.
We talked about it last week, so.
But with Fear Street,
Part two
coming out. It was set in 1978, and last week we did the NES, which...
Was 74?
Or I thought it was 78.
I don't remember. Was it 94 and 78?
94 and 78.
And then maybe.
1666.
But last week, the NES actually was very coincidentally...
coincided with the 90s.
Topical to Fear Street coming out, because that system actually peaked around... when that Fear Street came out. So we decided to do something more Fear Street related, so 70s movies it was. And these movies are, they actually kind of hold a special place in my heart because my dad was little in the 70s. So like these are my dad's nostalgia movies he showed me when I was little. You know, lots of good Don Knotts movies from that time. He was really into those.
Yes. I watched a lot of 70s movies when I was younger too. When was, wasn't one of the Star Wars movies in the 70s too?
Yes, New Hope.
New Hope.
70s, you know, 70s Disney went pretty hard.
70s Disney went well hard.
But.
There's a lot from the 70s I didn't realize that not only do I watch as a kid, but some of them I still continue to rewatch.
Yeah, same.
Doing this list, you can tell, if you want to be cynical about it, that they're definitely playing up the nostalgia with all these remakes, because I feel like it's our parents' generation and our generation, we're all getting the remakes from these early 70s movies where a lot of modern day franchises planted their seeds. But before we get started, what have you been doing this week, Reggie?
Well, this week I watched all of the Scream movies in a row, back to back, with my kid. So that was fun. He had seen them before, but he apparently it had been a long time, or maybe only saw them once, because he didn't know who the killer was in any of them. So that was really fun.
And he knew about Ghostface from... Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, he knew who Ghostface was actually from the TV show.
Nice.
The Scream TV show, because yes. He asked why the mask was different. And I was like, no. The TV show mask
made
was
it different.
And then,
yes.
Yeah, and then the very next day, he drew this incredible kind of cutesy cartoons Ghostface. Yeah,
he's talking on the phone.
I posted it on my story, too. Kind of mulling around the idea of having it tattooed on me.
Ooh.
Like, I really, really like it that much. Like, I want a Scream tattoo anyway, and you then should, I really liked his work.
You should hit up Logan Isaacson.
Yeah.
He's a tattoo artist I like, and he might be able to do that one justice.
Nice. Let's see, what else did I do this week? I beat Evil Within 2. It was a scary game, but the ending was not scary.
Well, it should be a happy ending, right?
I mean, it was a happy ending, but I mean, like, the final boss battle, I didn't realize that it was a final boss battle.
Oh.
Well, no, I take that back. The final boss battle was very obvious, because it was, like, an oversized, large, giant monster thing they were fighting. But the boss battle before it, I was like, oh, wait a minute, this is a boss battle. Because, you know, when you play a video game and you get good stuff, you always save it to when you need it.
Yeah.
Well, I saved everything until when I thought I was going to need it. And I was like, oh, this is chapter 17, and there's only 17 chapters. I should probably start using some stuff. So I just unloaded. really good. And then my husband also, yesterday, which was July 13th, got me Final Girls Support Group by Grady Hendrix. Just came out yesterday. It's a book about Final Girls. Like, this universe... The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Jason, the Scream stuff, like all of that happened. And these girls, while their name aren't Sydney and stuff like that, they all meet and have been meeting for like the last 16 years in this support group. And the beginning of the book, one of the girls is killed. And it starts a chain reaction that seems very much like it's a coordinated attack on all of them simultaneously. I started it yesterday, and I have 2 chapters left.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if I could borrow it, but the pages are on fire because of how fast you read.
Your wife wants to borrow it, so maybe you guys can read it aloud to each other. It's really good, and I've been struggling with reading a lot here recently. So it's been really nice to. The chapters are real short, so you feel real smart while you read it.
Oh man, when I read a book that has like chapters longer than like 15 pages, I'm like, the audacity of this author. How dare they? Sorry, Shane, if you have.
Yes, I was going to say, so when I lend you guys the story I want you guys to read, I will make chapters because there's only 5 chapters and they're over 100 pages.
But well, if there's like only 5, I feel like that's like manageable. That's like splits. Like that's short stories almost. Whereas like a 30-page chapter just kills me. I'm like,
don't read the Game of Thrones books because it's gonna be 30 pages of like what's on the wall.
Oh, I hate books. And Lord like of the that. Rings.
I haven't read Lord of the Rings. I can't.
I hear it's similar.
It's too difficult of a read for me. I mean, Corey can read them all day, every day, but me personally.
Sorry to interrupt your This Week in Nerd, but have y'all heard that the voice of Gollum and Smeagol is reading the audiobooks for Lord of the Rings?
No, that's awesome.
What's his name? I can't.
The actor?
Yes.
I don't know what his name is, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
He is too famous for us to not look this up right now.
And then other than that, this week I really haven't been doing much, just prepping for my birthday that's coming up and, you know, chilling.
Andy Serkis.
There you go. Shane, what have you done?
All right. Well, I am working on my July book. I'm not as far as I want to be on it because it's the series that I have the love-hate relationship with. And I'm on the very last book, so I can get rid of the series after I'm done with it. And I want to know how it ends, but... yeah, sometimes it's a little too descriptive like that. And being too descriptive is something I avoid as a writer. I know that because I've gotten feedback before that's like, it's not descriptive enough. And sometimes I reply, you get a little bit. Other times I reply, like, you're not getting pages of it, so too bad.
So you need to write stories that are like, the green leaf vein tickled the green field of the actual leaf itself while blowing gently in the wind.
She slowly saunters down the hot summer sidewalk.
Yes, yeah, like that. My stories are more plot and character driven. I will describe some things, but I don't go into a lot of detail. And sometimes I don't go into a lot of detail about the characters.
I hear there's a story you wrote where there's this really, really hot character named Rocky who drives the entire storyline.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Slim.
Slim?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Slim drives the storylines. People come to watch Rocky, but people come to laugh with Slim.
Yes.
Look at Rocky, at least that.
Yes, I write that as well, the play that we're all in.
Maybe we'll all get to see it and share it with our families one day.
One day.
Stay tuned, and you too out there might be able to watch it.
Yes. But other than that, I've not done a lot this week. I'm still playing my Switch. I've had some real-life pressing matters take the forefront of my life. So I've gotten very little golf in, but I've got a little bit of Animal Crossing in. And I had an hour and a half like car ride to and fro a place this past Monday. And so on that ride, I ended up playing Super Mario Smash, doing their like little spirit challenge thing.
Nice. Did you see the Cartoon Network.
The Nickelodeon. Yes.
Smash Bros, basically.
Yeah, I am interested in that, and I do think I want to play it. I don't know if I'll be one of the ones getting it when it first comes out.
Well, I'm going to get it. I saw Cinnamon Toast Crunch Man was one of the characters from Ren and Stimpy, so I'm there for
You're
it.
You're in?
I'll get it. We can play at my house.
Yes, there we go. I was most interested in, oh gosh, what's the name? Start with the O, the Aura Monster thing? I want to say like Oblique, but that's not her name.
It's O something.
Oblina? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her. She's in it, and I like that Reptar was in it, so... Total Smash knockoff, but it's Nickelodeon.
Brawl? What's it called?
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl or something?
All-Star Brawl. I can't speak.
Speaking of Nickelodeon, do y'all remember a Rugrats N64 game?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I played the crap out of that game.
Well, was it a movie-based game or was it a different one?
No, I think it was just... because I remember like you were in Reptar Land at one point. You were in the daycare center. You were in the house itself and like... the house had different doors that would unlock once you collected enough things, and you could go and do... I think it was just based off of the show.
Yay. Well, that's better if it was, because, you know, I was not a fan of the Rugrat movies. And I have not been able to watch more of the new series except for the first episode. TV
but,
and
but
list
you liked
things.
It, though, right? You said you liked it?
I did. There were things I liked about it. It was a Rugrats. There were some things I didn't like about it. But I want to get back, because the very first episode is like an hour-long episode. And then if you look ahead at the rest of the season, it's the two segments, which I think I'll enjoy more.
It's called Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl.
Yes.
And it hasn't been announced yet, but you can see the shadow of Korra in the background.
Oh, okay.
So apparently Korra the Avatar is going to be one of the characters. So I definitely will be playing.
Toph better be in there if Korra is going to be in there. Toph, it might be the my favorite Nickelodeon character.
Helga, Danny Phantom, Sandy Cheeks, Zim, Nigel Thornberry, Michelangelo, Leonardo, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Nigel.
Patrick is in there. Reptar, Patrick Reptar.
Patrick Star, Reptar, Lincoln Loud, Lucy Loud, Oblina, and Powdered Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy.
Are the Louds from the Loud
House? The Loud House, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I definitely want to play it, and I could see myself eventually owning it, but eventually.
You just come over and play with me.
Exactly, yeah. If you get it, then I can play with you. But that's honestly been my week. Nothing terribly exciting. What about you, Tom?
Well, my week was not super nerdy. As usual, I think I'm learning now that the pandemic is slightly subsiding, that there's a lot less time to do this stuff as when we started the podcast. But I had an enjoyable weekend with my in-laws. And usually when we're there, we watch, like, Oxygen all weekend. And I love it. I love my, you know, I enjoy spending time at my in-laws' house, so getting to watch Eastern North Carolina local news and Oxygen Network is really fun for
What's
me.
What's on Oxygen?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Snapped.
It's not
Hot Wives on
Snapped.
There?
We watch HLN as well,
What's
so...
That?
Headline News Network, but that's where like Forensic Files. Just basically, we watch true crime all weekend. Dr. Phil in the mornings.
Ugh, that tool.
Fun.
Yes, Snap. Yeah, once you said Snap, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the channel that plays it 24/7.
It's fun.
What,
it's
Snap
camp.
Just when people snap and kill
yeah.
people. Yeah,
I like the drums, and it's not something I usually watch. So it's a nice change of pace, but always fun. Played Pokemon like usual, but really my week since I've been at my in-laws, the thing I've been nerding on the most has been Fear Street, which we talked about in our last episode. We're talking about on this episode. I didn't get to watch the newest installment, 1978, which we're talking about today, until I got back, because they don't have like a smart TV, so I couldn't watch Netflix, really.
Couldn't watch it on your phone?
Couldn't wow. spend... More like I couldn't spend 2 hours away being antisocial.
I'm using the bathroom. Leave me alone.
But, you know, spent a lot of time like looking up Easter eggs on about it online, reading about it, and just nerding out on it. I wish I had known that this book series existed before, because I think I might have read it.
Tom.
But
I can probably lend you some. They're
say,
all at
I
my house.
You have all of them?
I have a good bunch. There's, yeah.
Okay, so this week we're talking about 1978, and they, I guess the camp from this episode was the title of one of the books.
Camp Nightwing.
Camp Nightwing.
I don't know if it was a title. It was definitely a setting in one of the books.
I think it was like, or maybe, yeah, maybe it was the setting of like, maybe the, I think I read like the 12th book or something.
Yeah, we have a lot at my house that I could probably lend out because no one's touched them in 5 years.
It was in Lights Out, Fear Street number 12, and it took place at Camp Nightwing.
Okay. And then next week we will be doing another episode to coincide with Fear Street 1666. And
all
that,
of our favorite celebrities from 1666.
All of them.
Who? Oh, man. That there's so many of them, you know.
Like the ones that weren't burned at the stake.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. Those were always my favorite. Those were the girls
John,
I wanted to hang out with.
John Proctor from... But also, that will be Reggie's birthday episode.
My birthday? Oh my god, 28 never looked so good. 34.
28 and holding.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I am now 28 and holding.
What are we doing for the theme of that week? Favorite mythic? I feel like mythical matches, like witches from 1666.
I want to do mythical creatures from the Dark Ages specifically.
Mythical.
Okay. That type of era. I know my hair looks crazy.
You're fine.
Can, like, Middle Earth separate dimensions counts, or does it have to be, like, European Middle Earth?
I'll leave that. I trust you to figure that out.
We also have
a week to figure some interesting stuff
happening in the Middle East in that time.
Oh, I don't want to limit it to one specific area, a region.
This one will be fine.
I just want it to be like that time period, wherever in the world. One of mine is from India, so nice. Mine can't be limited to just Europe.
Yeah, no Eurocentric themes.
I will work on it because I can't be like this. So there's the Scooby-Doo episode set in 1666.
Daphne is almost burnt. It's crazy.
It's all Velma's fault.
Prince of Persia was my first game on the Macintosh.
Sands of Time. Running on those walls and then reversing it. I think Prince of Persia was one of the first games I ever played on an Xbox that had, you remember the white and black button?
Oh, yeah.
The white and black button was the fast forward and rewind.
And the controller
buttons.
That you would have to, like, hug to
Yeah,
use.
It was like this. I
mean, there was like, a rope to pull the trigger underneath.
Oh, God.
Giant
I've never heard what you're talking about.
You don't remember the original Xbox controller?
I remember the controller. Yeah, I didn't have one.
The original Xbox controller was, like, the size of a laptop.
I mean, it wasn't this big, but, I mean, it was probably, like...
But pretty much.
Probably, like, this.
And then they redid it and moved the white and black buttons.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Fear Street has been taking my life by storm, and it's
fun.
It's fun. I've been enjoying... I'm not usually a slasher person, but it's been fun.
Well, let's not give everything away yet.
Yes, we will be talking about the latest Fear Street later in this episode. But first, I guess I should share my list, shan't I?
I guess, if you want to. Ugh.
Okay, so, like I said, lots of nostalgia for 70s movies because my dad just really enjoyed those because he was young in the 70s and...
Because he was a child then and alive.
And also my mom as well. She showed me some good... We bonded over these movies as a family.
Aww.
And I was like, this is going to be easy. I don't know many movies from the 70s. Unfortunately, Airplane was not a 70s movie, or that would be number one on this list. It was 1980. But I could have sworn that was a 70s movie. So number five is The Jerk with Steve Martin.
The Jerk. And Bernadette Peters.
Bernadette Peters, do y'all like that movie? Or
I love that movie. I love Bernadette Peters. I love everything that she's done and everything that she's gonna do. She's still relevant.
Some jokes that age poorly in that movie, but overall, just I love it. And
it's when they're eating pizza out of a cup, right, with a fork at one point.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure. I know it's a weird detail to remember. And then something about him, like, in a pinball machine, or, like, bouncing around like he's in a pinball machine. I
haven't watched it in far too long, but, you know,
I've
just...
Seen it.
Oh, my gosh, Shane. We might need to watch it and talk about it, because just an all-around good movie that I just remember, like, watching numerous times with my family and stomach laughing every time we watch it. It was always timeless. So that had to be on the list. Number four, Alien. It was only in all of these movies, like, really should be like are uncomparable to each other. Cause they're just, I feel like there are so many good movies from this era. But Alien would have been further up on my list if I'd already done it in a previous episode, and there will probably be 1,000 more Alien episodes if we continue to do this podcast for 1,000 episodes.
Of course we will.
But
Alien is going to be on my list every single week from now on, no matter what the topic is. I'm just kidding.
It fits so much.
It's such a good movie.
It's such a good movie. It's got an awesome, like, pretty agendered female protagonist. Like,
Well, I mean, the whole entire movie could have been avoided if they just would have listened to her. But the whole point of the movie is that...
Mansplaining caused that entire tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All of them. Even in two.
She knew what she was doing. She was doing her job. And guess what? Some mediocre male who probably didn't have to try as hard as her was like, no, little lady, we're going to let this guy with a giant alien on his face into the ship.
Yeah, come on in, John Hurt.
And then, you know, obviously, I think it's still relevant in the sense that there was a corporation involved that was just like, hey, y'all need to bring this alien home because we want to make money off of it. We don't care if you die. And that kind of feels like what happened last year. So let's see. Number three, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And for so many reasons, I watched this movie with my brother and our friend Adam Goodrich when we were little. And we laughed so hard at it. I feel like every... boy.
No, I would not say every boy. I know a lot of females that also watched it too.
I coach and I feel like I hear from the boys a lot of the quoting Monty Python. Well, it's
definitely more geared towards the male audience the content is and how women are portrayed. And also the trope itself was mostly male.
Yeah.
I also watched The Holy Grail as a child growing up because that was like my birth father's favorite types of movies to watch. We had all of them. Like The Holy Grail, Now for Something Completely Different.
My brother had the Flying Circus like the box show? Set.
Yeah.
And I remember an episode where Karl Marx was playing soccer against people. Do y'all know what that one was?
I don't remember that much detail.
But yeah, I feel like Monty Python was a part of so many people's childhoods at this point. That English movie. So that had to be on the list. Number two, obviously Star Wars. Star Wars New Hope came out. It's not my favorite in all the movies, but it started it all. And I love Star Wars. I love how it was made at the time, especially now that I'm kind of getting into taking pictures of small things, just how they did certain things, like certain effects when they're zooming into ships is literally just some dude who just painted on a canvas and they're just zooming into it. So that is pretty wild too. And then just hearing my dad talk about when it came out, how it was just whoa, this is like a Western, but it's in space. So I just, had to put Star Wars on my list as a big fan.
Shocked.
Yes.
And then number one is Rocky 1 and 2. And that's just, once again, another nostalgia pick. Not sure how I feel about Sylvester Stallone in modern times, but as a young athlete watching those Rocky movies, as a young athlete who was also a nerd, all of those inspirational sports movies are just what I dream of at night. So the whole Rocky franchise is part of me. And I will always love it. So that had to be number one. Like I said, not the biggest fan of Sylvester Stallone at the current moment, but have loved a lot of his movies. And I mean, he's got a pretty neat early story in where he came from. Because, I mean, he basically wrote Rocky, was dirt poor, and was basically I'm not going to let y'all make this movie unless I get to be the director and in it. And apparently he just was super, one cool thing is all the montages in the first movie, they didn't have a film permit. So they're just literally driving around in a van with a camera. And he was just jumping out and sprinting against a ship.
That is awesome.
So a lot of that stuff is just super neat, to me and is very special to me. And then onto my honorable mentions, the Disney Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
And that singing chicken. I'll always remember the tune.
Rooster.
Yeah, rooster, sorry.
The
singing rooster.
Maid Marian's handmaid was a chicken. Robin Hood, little Johnny walking through the forest.
I haven't seen that one in far too long, but that was a staple of childhood, was that Robin Hood movie. Aristocats.
Don't You're giving my list away.
another one with not the best, or with some stereotypes that had to be cut out, but still.
The Disney Plus still has all of it in there. It just has a little warning at the beginning mm-hmm. of it. Aristocats is one of those that we, it's one of our bedtime movies.
Aww.
And then a lot of space and like dystopia movies were really good at the time, like Soylent Green, Omega Man, a version of I Am Legend with Charlton Heston, and then Moonraker, because it gave us
the Bond movie Moonraker. I didn't even think about Bond movies when I just list. Oh, I'm so mad.
Well, also Jaws is like one of my favorites, and then also in GoldenEye you could play as like the Moonraker in the yellow suit. You could use the Moonraker laser. Jaws was in it, and there was the Aztec level as well, which is a Moonraker themed level. Mm-hmm. So that really, I was really into Bond there for a while, so I had to put Moonraker when I saw that one. But that's my list.
Very nice.
Do you remember when rubber band guns became like a big thing, like actual like little. Like wooden guns, and they had like the cog on it. And you could put the rubber.
Yes.
Okay, so me and my friend, when I was in like fifth grade or something like that, we got super into James Bond, and we both got PP7 silencer rubber band guns, and we would run around and we would shoot at each other with rubber bands, and then run inside and play GoldenEye on the 64, and then run back outside and shoot at each other with rubber bands. And childhood.
Yes.
Shooting projectiles at each other that could hurt ourselves.
Oh, those were the days.
But also, can I just comment how cool Nerf guns are now?
I have a couple of Nerf guns. And I also recently found a bunch of squirt guns that were in my building that I forgot.
Super Soakers? Super Soakers. Oh my gosh, can we have a Super Soaker war? I never had people to play Super Soakers with.
Clothes that you can get wet in.
Okay, good to know.
Do y'all remember the guns that shot the balls of water?
No, but I need one of them now.
I wanted one so bad. No, it would literally shoot like a pearl of water at people. And it was like something I went to Walmart like 40 times for before. You could just order everything on Amazon and mm-hmm. could never find. But before we move on to our next list, we have a shout out list that I wanted to do. Our friend Gabriel, he does the Movies with Gabriel Instagram. He was in Spelling Bee with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked him very quickly for his top favorite 70s movies because I knew that he would have.
I bet you got it back in like 30 seconds.
it was quick. Uh-huh. And I was like, sorry, it's so late. And it was like, hopefully going to have him on at some point. But his favorite top five of the 70s are The Last Picture Show, Days of Heaven, Nashville, Don't Look Now, and Paper Moon.
I will have to look all of those up. Same. Because I've never heard of any of them.
I recognize the names, but I haven't heard of much. But I know
Paper Moon. That's not Cher's. Not it. No, that's Moonstruck. Never mind.
Yep, that's his list.
But he would know really obscure, good.
Yeah, yeah. He's a collector.
Yeah.
Thought I'd share that. If you have any lists that you would love to share with us, we wanna be interactive and share your list. So please hit us up on our social medias and our
email.
Oh, I have seen Paper Moon. I had to look at I Googled it and looked at the image. You might recognize the box. With them sitting on the moon.
Oh, yeah, I recognize the box. Yeah. I still don't think I've seen it.
But anyway.
Womp womp.
Nice, Gabriel. Nice list.
Yes, thank you.
Well, Shane, what's your list for this week?
My list is all Scooby-Doo. No, I'm kidding. There were not enough. I looked.
It's Scooby-Doo meets Batman. Scooby-Doo meets Albert and Costello. Scooby-Doo meets Dracula.
Oh, there was a new Scooby-Doo movies. They were called movies.
Movies.
Movies in air quotes, everyone. But no, so I will say the number one on my list is soap opera related. So I'm really excited to reveal that when we get there. So first on my list, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I watched that probably far too young, but it's a musical. Loved it. It's weird. It's creepy.
I didn't realize how much about sex it was until I was in high school.
Oh my God. Well,
yeah, you said you had a part that had an entire segment. Like
it was the beginning part of it. I missed the very beginning part. The VHS, you know, mm-hmm. my holiday VHS is The Rocky Horror one, it cut out the beginning part of it, and it picked up when Frankenfurter is singing to Rocky the "I'll Make a Man Out of You" song.
Uh huh.
So it missed, you know, that the setup to it. So I never actually knew what the setup was. It was until when I was in high school and got a DVD copy of it, and I was like, I didn't know this is how the movie started.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it has Tim Curry. And
Barry Boswick and Susan Sarandon and Little Nail.
Sorry,
and
Patricia I Quinn love,
and Richard O'Brien, who is the actual writer of Rocky Horror, who is Riff Raff.
I love Tim Curry.
And Meatloaf guest stars.
I love Tim Curry.
Also, fun. I'm sorry, Shane. Last thing I'll interrupt with. Have you guys ever seen Phineas and Ferb? The Disney show?
Uh-huh.
Ferb's dad is voiced by Richard O'Brien, who is
really
Riff Raff, who is also the creator of Rocky Horror.
Nice. I did not know that.
Trivia.
That is You're very welcome. Cool. But yay, Rocky Horror. Moving right along, next on my list is a Rankin and, I guess, is it Bass? Is that how it's pronounced, or is it Bass? Rankin and Bass Productions. I think it's B-A-S-S.
Bass, Bass?
Bass, yeah. I never know.
You don't know. Could
exactly.
be the fish, it could be the instrument.
Exactly, but it's one of their stop motion pictures that I really, really love. And it is Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July. I chose that one because there were some in the 70s it was hard to choose from because Santa Claus was coming to town.
The stop motion?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't even think
of Yeah, Santa Claus is coming to town is one of them, and The Year Without Santa Claus was also one of them. All very good, but the one I do always get a little more excited to watch is Frosty and Rudolph.
Do you own that?
I do.
Okay.
Of course I do.
I have a box set of all of those.
Me too.
Oh my God, can we watch them this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Too bad we missed half Christmas.
Well, we're about to have Summerween in 2 days.
I think really? We should celebrate Halloween for all of fall.
Was it Christmas in July and
and half Christmas, and then? But I think we should literally have Halloween for the rest of the year.
Just every month have a Halloween party.
I mean,
that sounds good to me. I mean, I'm signed up for it. The Rudolph and Frosty in July. That's not the one with the heat misers, right?
Correct. That's the year without Santa Claus because they accidentally zap him down from the sky.
That's my favorite of all of the stuff.
I almost put it. It's they're all so good.
What's the one with the Island of Misfit Toys?
That is Rudolph, and that was in the 60s.
Yes!
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
No, it's not. That can't be right. In the 60s, they didn't even have televisions in the
60s. Yes, they did.
I was really hoping one of my Don Knotts movies was going to be from the 70s, but it was from the 60s, too.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Dumpling Gang?
The Ghost of Mr. Chicken. Mm. But Apple Dumpling Gang was the 70s.
But yeah, all those Rankin and, I'm going to say, Bass, all of those I love. I know, and I want the unreleased ones because they did a Halloween one that people said wasn't good, but I want it.
Really?
Uh-huh. And it had like all the Halloween monsters.
Why have I never heard it? Find it.
Yes.
We have to find it.
I think it's
it.
On YouTube, but I want a DVD release of it, and they won't release it because everyone apparently hated it when it aired.
Well, everybody hated all the Star Wars special things that happened, and those
exactly.
still got released.
Exactly. But next on my list is another movie musical that I watched a lot growing up, Grease.
It's... automatic. I don't know all the words. I hate that.
I don't either. Like, I like it, but now I, that...
It's Grease Lightning!
Yes.
Do, do, do. I know the movements, though.
We watched Grease in drama class. Did you have Mr. Pope for drama?
Of course, yeah. I watched it in drama. I watched it on TBS every time it came on for a while.
He told us when he showed us, he was like, this movie doesn't have a good moral.
No.
It's like, literally, like, he's like, don't fit in, just start smoking.
Smoke a cigarette. Beauty school dropout.
Exactly.
I want to be in Grease just so I can go, Sandy!
But I had to put it on my list. It's a 70s movie. I watched it so much growing up. Still watch it occasionally, but now that I know more musicals, I have much more favorites.
Reggie Zuko is so dreamy.
I know. I can't help it.
My favorite was always Tell Me More song.
Tell Me More.
Summer Love, is that it? Yeah.
Summer nights. That was my favorite part. Was that? And then I really loved the when they're singing. It's all the girls and they're at the sleepover.
Sandy D.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm Sandra. We don't own the copyright to that, so I'm not going to sing all of it. But you know what I'm talking about.
Isn't that public domain by now?
I hope.
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Grease has done a lot, so it still makes a lot of money. It's locked down.
But not Grease 2.
No, not Grease 2. That's probably free for anyone that wants it.
Same thing for Rocky Horror 2.
They will pay you to talk about Grease 2.
Yeah, you didn't know there's a Rocky Horror 2. It's called Electric Therapy or Electric Shock Therapy. Little Nell, Columbia is the only one from the original movie who comes back for that one.
Oh,
back to Shane's earlier. Shane, we're not only interrupting Shane now; we're backtracking on his list.
No, it's not. I really didn't know that.
I love our podcast.
So next on my list is kind of, I guess, it's animated because stop motion is not really animated, kind of. But first and only animated movie, and this could have been a whole list of these movies too. But Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving, and I still watch that one every year.
Just Thanksgiving.
What do you mean, just Thanksgiving?
Not just Thanksgiving, but specifically your favorite is the Thanksgiving one.
I mean, out of the 70 ones, yes. Because the others came, I think, earlier. Halloween and Christmas were earlier in the 60s. And I love all three. Like, those are the three I watch every year.
Was that the Super Bowl one? Was that the punt, pass, and kick contest?
No, it's when they have, like, their own Thanksgiving dinner, because everyone's leaving, so Peppermint Patty sets up a Thanksgiving at Charlie Brown's house. She just calls him and tells him it's going to happen.
Okay, I think there's, like, a punt, pass, and kick-themed episode that I thought might have been, like, Thanksgiving-themed, because it was...
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Maybe I made that up. Wait.
Tom making something up?
You're in the Super Bowl, Charlie Brown. There was a Super Bowl episode.
Yeah, there is.
When was that?
There's a lot of them. There are DVD collections that are literally Charlie Brown 1970s TV movies and specials, Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Yeah, that was 94, so it definitely wasn't.
Definitely. Classic Charlie Brown is much better.
That should have been last week, actually.
So that is my number 2. And then finally, my number 1, soap opera related one.
Scooby-Doo and the Soap Opera.
Scooby-Doo Goes Hollywood, no. that is one of the... Not the worst Scooby-Doo movies. Zombie Island, Return Scooby-Doo to Zombie Island, top that.
Meets the monkeys. Scooby-Doo gets Davy Jones to play at the school dance.
That's a Brady Bunch.
Sadie Hawkins. Sorry, Shane, go ahead.
No,
number one, soap opera related.
Yeah, my most favorite, it's also my most favorite show ever, probably. But it's a Dark Shadows movie. It's called House of Dark Shadows. You may or may not know Dark Shadows is a 1960s gothic soap opera that was well ahead of its time because it centered... It tried to be a soap opera, I guess, in its first year, and then when ratings were declining, they brought in a vampire. And from a vampire, we got a witch. And from a witch, we got a werewolf. And from a werewolf, we got ghosts and zombies and time travel.
It was not a vampire show to begin with?
No.
I thought the whole premise of Dark Shadows was Barnabas.
That's what put it on the map. No, there's 100-some episodes before Barnabas even arrives. And we get a ghost early on, but...
That's crazy!
Yeah, and House of Dark Shadows is not really canon to the TV show because they give us the Barnabas story again, but it's a horror movie. And Barnabas kills most of the main cast by biting everyone, and they become vampires, so they have to be staked. And it is really, really creepy.
I'm sure you love it.
I do. And my favorite actress, Catherine Lee Scott, survives.
I'll watch it.
Final girl.
I've got the DVD, of course. She is. She's a final girl. She's a bit of a damsel in distress because Maggie always was, because that's the character she played, Maggie Evans, the affection of Barnabas' eye. But yeah, House of Dark Shadows had to be my number one. It came out in 1970, and it's darker than the TV show, but I still love the take on the story. Like, they actually made it scary, whereas the soap opera is not. Still love the soap opera, but that's my list. As honorable mention, I put down Jaws and Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown, which was a really tough one to choose between those two Charlie Brown ones, because I really like that one as well, and I do tend to watch it every year in February. But that's my list of 70 movies that are my favorite.
That was a beautiful list, Shane.
Thank you.
Well, before we go into our next segment, and I know it's not on Reggie's list, have y'all seen the movie Watership Down?
Yeah. No.
I've only seen creepy memes from it. Was that movie super weird?
Okay, so Watership Down.
It's like the one with the bunnies, and there's like a zombie bunny in one part, apparently, because...
Well, it's a retelling of World War II, I think.
What?
Maybe it's a...
I need to watch this, if so. Sorry to be random.
Set in 1972, southern England, around Hampshire, the story features a small group of rabbits. They did a mini series on Netflix. I think Liam Neeson did the voice of the main rabbit. You should watch that. That one was really, really good.
I'll have to check it out because I've seen it before and it kept popping up in the list. And I was like, I need to watch this.
The story features a small group of rabbits. Although they live their natural wild environment with burrows, they are anthropomorphized, possessing their own culture, language, proverbs, poetry, and mythology. Invoking epic themes, the novel follows the rabbits as they escape the destruction of their warren and seek a place to establish a new home, encountering perils and temptations along the way. And I'm pretty sure it's like four parts.
What are rabbits' temptations? Carrots?
And dandelions? And, well, you can't just eat the flowers. And painting
eggs.
Yeah, and you can't just eat the clovers off of the flowers off of the clovers. You have to eat the clovers themselves, too.
Whatever else people tell
it's
us.
It's too long for me to read on the podcast, yeah. But I'm going to send this
to you. Oh, you're not going to read... You're just going to bring that up without reading the whole history of the entire plot?
Excuse me.
Welcome to the Total Nerd List audiobook.
The Nord Wars.
Okay, but what we are here for today is Fear Street.
Yes.
I forgot to watch it.
No,
I didn't.
Before we start, let's make sure we are talking about the right year.
78.
78. Okay. Also, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what happens in it. If you don't want to listen to us talk about it, skip forward right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you a second.
Yes.
Okay, because we're talking now. Go. I loved it. I liked it way more than the first one.
Did you?
The only complaint that I had about it was that I did feel like it took a minute to get to a killing. I felt like it was, like, a little slow at the verse. Like, it was, like, 20 whole minutes before somebody got their head chopped.
I was like, I want
some violence.
I would agree with you if it wasn't the second installment. So, like, the whole... Because, I mean, I feel like it would have been really slow if it was a standalone movie. But the fact that, like, we were picking up from Nurse Lady some vibes from the first movie really quickly, I think that kept my attention until the first... kill.
Well, Nurse Lady was the mom of Ruby,
the straight razor,
the straight razor who killed all of her friends and then herself.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one who that guy kept saying was she's super hot when she was trying to kill him. And she was convinced that it was the witch that did that to her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait, the nurse?
Yeah,
the one telling the story.
In the nurse at the summer camp.
Oh, the nurse. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Got you. Sorry, I was
the only
my characters.
Like one of the only adults in this movie.
The only adult.
Okay,
in
she's
the
an adult.
Entirety of the movie.
She's an adult, and then there's an adult police officer, and then there is a child dressed as a police officer that we're supposed to believe is an adult.
Right.
I am still trying to figure out the rules of this universe. I think it might just be a coincidence, but I thought that the Shady Side campers were all younger than the rest of the Sunny Side. I feel
it
like there was a mix.
Like.
There was a point where like they were talking to them, and I was like, these are all children. And it just makes me wonder if like adults don't happen in one side of town because of like the curse. Like people just don't make it to like adolescence.
I think they're all stuck in a time loop. Destined to just repeat it over and over.
No, that'd be
terrible. All the same people every single time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my theory is on it. But
also, did y'all notice in the news report at the beginning of the show, like how shallow they treated Simon and Kate's death?
Oh, that they were junkies?
Yeah.
That was the whole thing at the beginning of... I mean, at the end of the first movie, though, the police officer was like, Are you sure you want your friends to be portrayed like this? And she was like, what other alternative?
Yeah,
it's like
they have no
there?
Other choice.
Yeah.
There was just like a really callous line in there that I was just like, this is terrible.
These are still children. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if they were junkies.
I mean, everyone in this town are apparently children in some form. I just feel like there are no, like... I don't know. They're obviously adults that are spoken of, but they're like no...
Never there.
Yeah, so I don't... So I just wonder if like maybe the curse makes it... So like Shadyside is just like younger because it's just like law of large numbers.
Maybe.
Eh, I don't know. I think maybe, like, the rules of the universe are, like, they're trying to, with the times, just, you know, everyone was so free caring that it didn't matter. Like, kids probably didn't see their parents a lot often because they were doing latchkey. Whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted.
Yeah, I mean, a big commentary on latchkey children, I mm-hmm. guess.
Could also be that the shady side was supposed to be the poor side of town, and socioeconomically speaking,
yeah,
poor families have more children than just based mm-hmm. off of education levels and stuff like that. So that could be why that the shady side had a whole bunch more kids versus the seemingly small group of teenagers that were on the sunny side. I also, not to jump ahead to it, but did you guys also notice that the killer only yep. went yes. after Shady
Side? I was getting
kids.
Ready to say something about that because I really wanted that mean girl to get what was coming to her.
Oh my gosh. I was so mad. I'm choosing to believe that when she hit her in the bathroom, she killed her.
But she didn't.
No, I'm wondering if, do y'all think they're going to introduce like these like shady cabal of like Sunnysiders or whatever their names are that are like actually putting these events in motion? Because I mean, how do you yes. get your name on the witch's
I
wall?
Think,
and I just wonder, like,
I don't get your name.
Is it a
wall.
Like top to bottom
touch a grave?
Is it like a top to bottom conspiracy? Because I feel like there were a lot of parts in there that the Shadysiders were set up. Like, literally, all of a sudden they were around all the kids, and then all of the other kids from the other side of town ran away, and then all of the Shadyside kids got killed.
I think it's going to have something to come back to. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. we're just speculating, because mm-hmm. we'll find out our answers in 1666. But whatever happened then, and whatever set everything in motion, is going to have something to do with the Good family, the sheriff and the mayor.
Uh-huh.
And I personally think that they're probably the ones, their family probably still has some kind of stronghold over the curse,
mm-hmm.
which is why their family is always the one who's in power, and Shadyside is always the dump.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
it's going to come out that it's not actually the witch that's doing all of this, mm-hmm. it's somebody controlling the witch,
mm-hmm.
and that somebody is going to be from Sunnyvale, or whatever it was
yeah.
called.
When just, you know, they talked about, like, we're all cursed. Like, what was it?
They're all not cursed because
no,
the killer didn't go
cursed,
after them all.
Just the shady side kids.
Well, no, it was the shady side of saying we're all cursed. Was it Alice who said that?
Was that the red? I don't know.
The short-haired.
Alice was the short-haired friend that had her moment, like, we're going to do this.
Alice
and I'm going to survive.
Arnie.
And then immediately is killed.
Alice and Arnie were the druggy couple. But yeah, like,
oh,
I mean, no.
Man, she had such a story arc, too. She went
she had
from
a story
so unlikable, getting banged. Like, well, that was the first
mm-hmm.
time we saw her was when she was getting
18,
banged.
Like, whatever age hanky-panky we had
yeah.
to watch,
and
I did not
all
like
the
it.
The drugs, my kid, we also watched it with the kid, and he, like, started looking in the other direction. I'm like, it's just sex, grow
it's,
up.
It's weird watching with your parents.
Yeah.
So we're watching with your parents.
No,
it's also just weird watching as an adult. Like,
I also told my kid when we were watching, I was like, just so you know, if something like this ever happens, you're not going to be allowed to go out to a party to mourn your friends or
no.
something like that. I think that was more after watching the Scream movies.
And the dude on Riverdale, too. But I just, whoever sees or is near those stupid bones, everyone needs to hold their nose and not bleed on them.
And there has
one job.
One job.
Don't or just not bleed at all, but specifically the nose, like all of a sudden randomly, I touched the bone. I'm going to hold it right here. Oh no, look.
I mean,
blood.
I'm sorry. I don't, when I'm bleeding, I in the forefront of my mind isn't like I shouldn't bleed on these cursed bones. I feel like there's a pretty low
That's
probability.
Literally the first thing that pops into my mind when my nose starts bleeding.
I have nosebleeds, so sometimes I get it when it's really truly a surprise. But the fact there are these cursed bones, just no.
Chilling.
Exactly.
Okay, the first one, the thing that annoyed me about that, with the bones specifically,
yeah.
is that her bones had literally just been on the side of a highway.
In like a thin bed of moss.
This entire time. Really?
And they mm-hmm. haven't been made into
there
a
has
mall.
To be a reason why, because we thought her bones were going to be under the tree. And then they found the rock that said, sorry, you're SOL, basically.
Your princess is in another castle.
Exactly. which I also thought was really, really cool that the tree was growing in the mall.
But that's what else I don't understand. It should be under the mall, not in the fake moss bed of the mall.
Yeah, also, and you're telling me that when they built that, nobody disturbed that enough and was like, oh, hey, look, I found this
also
witch's hand? I don't know what it is.
Reggie might not get this, but Shane, the tree in the mall gave me some early night or some 90s Boone Mall vibes.
Was there a tree in the
used to be
mall?
Like a tree in the middle, yes, with like,
well,
a
we
little,
had the waterfall too,
little, like, water feature.
I remember the water feature
because
I mean, I might not be from here, but I was down in Will, so we came up pretty regularly.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, when
good
we
point.
Used to have a real mall,
there was a music store in there that I used to come and get my PMG
yes.
music.
Well,
from.
It was Blockbuster and Turtles. That's mm-hmm. what they were, and then we had an arcade and a pet store and a KB Toys. A real
Boone,
mall.
Oh my god, the Boone KB small. Toys! Mm-hmm. I completely forgot that existed, and then it became Game. Spot,
but the,
and then it became GameStop.
But also, the toy store turned into Hobby Town USA at one point.
Yeah.
Okay. very, very topical mall references there.
It gave me
Western North Carolina mall references hashtag.
Also, a lot of the actresses, two of the actresses were from Stranger Things.
Two
of them. The girl who's killed in the first one in the very beginning. That's Maya Hawkins.
Oh, yeah.
That's Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawkins' daughter. Mm-hmm. And she was Robin in the third season of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Working at the ice cream shop with Steve.
I did not realize that.
Yep, that's her.
Because I know Ziggy is from Stranger Things.
And Ziggy was from Stranger Things. Also, I thought it was going to be the flip on which sister was which.
Uh-huh,
I did
same.
Not think Ziggy was going to be C. Burnham. I thought it was going to be the same. Other way. Because I was like, no, they're pinning her up to survive too much. Mm-hmm. Like, she's totally going to get axed.
Yeah. I mean, technically she did, but...
Well, no, not her.
Well, not her, yeah.
She got, like, shivved or something.
Also, I'd like to point out that Stephen King exists in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The books. Carrie. I loved the
Carry
the
On.
Yeah.
Nick being a little Stephen King nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Officer Nick.
He pissed me off real bad. Only because I knew who he was from the first movie.
Yeah.
I was like, you suck! You suck, man! I kept screaming at the TV.
When he gets his ass, when his axe, blah, 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 when his leg gets the axe. I was fine with that. I'm like, no, go ahead, kill him. I'm fine with it.
Well, and that's what also, like, his leg got the axe. And then the guy just kept going.
Mm-hmm.
He was only after the shady side. There has to be something about that.
Like, yeah.
I'm dying for Friday.
I also put justice for Tommy, because I feel like he was just such a sweet baby angel that they made kill
the
all of his friends.
Young nerd.
No, Tommy,
no,
the
Tommy,
guy
the
actually
killer.
Doing the killing.
Yeah, no, Chunky nerd kid. Yeah, that made
I also put down justice for Jeremy.
Jeremy, that's what it is.
And that one killed me on the inside. And then, but there are also those sweet baby angels in like the art classroom.
They were all sweet little baby angel children.
Yeah, I swear, everyone so from Sunnyside was a children.
Yeah,
except for the Moonflower.
Yes, her. I loved her. I did not want her to die.
I was so upset.
The one
when
who
she
was like,
died.
"Drugs are love.
Drugs are love."
Yes,
man.
Well, and she also in their pep talk because you know Sunnyvale was like, "We're going to cream them. We do this every year. We're going to stomp them in the ground and
kill
like,
them."
And this girl's like, "We're going to try our best."
And remember, winning comes from the heart.
Exactly.
I loved so hard when Cindy was. Like, we found drugs, and she was like, drugs are love. And she was like, I'm not talking about pot. Because you can tell she had just been hearing her talk all summer about how drugs are love. And she was like, I'm tired of hearing this.
Shut up!
The guy that played the really douchey Sunnyvale camp counselor.
Who did not get killed.
Apparently
escaped
him to die
on
too.
The bus with all the kids. I hated that. Hated that!
Did we see him in the first movie at all?
No.
That was not...
Kirk, right?
That's not the mayor, right? That's not Nick's brother?
Are they separate
people?
Nick's...
Did we ever get his last
brother.
Name? I don't
Good.
Know if we did or not.
I mean, we know Nick's last
name. I called
name
him Brock because I know him from Insatiable.
Oh, I don't...
Also, literally the first thing I wrote when I was watching this movie was kids are the worst. Because it literally started with, like, teen bullying.
I literally... Okay, so Corey, my husband and I have come to the realization that if superpowers exist, we would not be superheroes. We would be villains because I literally was like, just kill them. Just kill the kids. Like, they're trying to kill you, so just grab a rock and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem? Corey's like, that's not how the world works. And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't actually think that.
Well, we couldn't move on without mentioning all of the Shining references this one. Obviously, an axe murderer. He had a Jack Torrance-style flannel jacket that I do not know when he got that.
He was wearing it when they went into the cavern.
Into the woods?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know.
But he was already wearing it.
And he was feeling all rough then, but... just numerous times, I mean, the chanting when he was out on the hunt was very Shining-esque. He even had, like, the Jack Torrance limp. There was a scene when the bus pulled out. It showed him literally, like, walk up the way Jack Torrance did, which is wild because The Shining actually came out in 1980, but apparently it began filming in 1978.
Oh.
So I don't know if that was an homage of sorts.
Could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just I guess feeling, you know, 70s era axe murder, they had to go with the Shining Easter eggs. And I loved it because I'm a huge Shining fan, both book and movie.
The ending was so creepy. That little child came out to kill everyone and then Switchblade Girl...
That baby doll, like,
I think that one scares me the most. Okay, yeah.
Have we noticed that, one, the monsters came out of the latrine, and two, every time the monsters form, they look like doo-doo?
Well, they came from that giant blob thing that Alice touched.
Yes.
Which is the kind of what, when they blew them up in the first one, they kind of turned into those blob things and then reformed.
The doo-doo monsters.
The doo-doo monsters. which also gave me Stranger Things vibes, because that looked just like the thing from
it does.
I think they're
season.
Connecting those universes.
They maybe, I don't know. I really appreciated that the sisters, like, came together in the end. That was really, like, bothering me the whole time. I was like, no, one of you are gonna die.
Exactly.
Like, no, makeup. I really was worried that they were gonna end on a sour note, like, both of them still mad at each other. So I was really glad that they made amends.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And then that perfect setup for the next one.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we got to touch on that. Next week is 1666. And I think what they're gonna do is, in the first movie, they mentioned this, like, this preacher guy who was, like, blinded.
He would gouge the eyes out of his victim. Yeah. He's gonna be is the person who is behind everything.
I think, yeah, they're gonna set him up to be as the villain, because they set, what's the girl from the main character from the first movie? I'm so bad with names.
Darlene.
Dina?
Dina.
They're setting her up to be the witch character. And I'm glad I actually watched it right before y'all came over. And I'm glad I did, because I feel like it set it up so she could change the past.
So is she reliving it?
I think she is.
It kind of looked a little bit that way. Because
it showed her looking in the water, and she is still the person who actually was the witch. So I think before I thought it was like, oh, so like... this is a reincarnation thing, and it all comes back around.
That is what.
But
I think
it's going to be more like you can change the past, and maybe only you, and then that will
break the time loop.
That will break the time loop. So I think that's. I will throw my TV out the window if it's all a dream, though.
Why would it be a dream?
I don't know. I want
because
Kate
she bled
and Simon
on the bands.
To come back.
The bands.
I feel like they didn't kill off Simon and Kate the right way, and I feel like they're gonna bring them back. And if they do that through something cheap, I'm gonna be mad.
Well, we saw that whatever's happening in 1666, it's all the same cast people.
Uh huh. Which makes me happy.
Do you think they're gonna have both young Nick and old Nick in it?
Probably.
Maybe
they'll just be different characters.
Different people.
I'm very curious
as to who her brother, like, is that her brother that's standing next to her in the preview, or is he, you know what I'm saying, like, is that 1990 brother reliving the past, or is that him in the past? Like, I don't know.
Also, or his doppelganger.
I just need more Josh. I miss Josh from the first movie.
Is that the brother?
Yeah. Her brother.
I'm pretty sure he would have been my best friend, because he wears Hawaiian. Literally, the first time you see him on screen, he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
The thing that bothered me with him is that his music was so loud that he couldn't hear the doorbell, but she couldn't hear his music.
Yeah.
Headphones?
No, it was playing.
Yeah, it was playing.
Plot holes. Plot.
If that's the only plot hole, I'll be happy. Well... Join us next week when we talk about the rest of Fear Street. This has been a fun little segment for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think maybe we'll do a little special. I know a little gaming streamer friend of ours that's going to watch it, so we might be able to have them come on and talk about it with us. Parts 1, 2, and 3. Maybe the three of us could get to... Or maybe the four or five of us, whoever comes on the episode, could get together and watch it.
Ooh.
But yeah, tune in. Fear Street 1666.
Well, y'all, I love talking about that, but now I really want to hear Reginald's list.
Well, my list is The Jerk, Alien, Holy Grail, New Hope... No, oh, I'm sorry.
It took me a second.
So I actually had a little bit of a hard time doing this list at first until I Googled list of 70s movies, and then I was like, oh wait, there's too many.
Yeah, same.
Holy crap. I couldn't think of a single one, and then when I realized what it was hard for me to narrow it down.
Yes.
Starting off my list is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, except for Grandpa Joe. even as a child, I thought it was weird that Grandpa Joe was in bed for 20 years, and then all of a sudden this kid gets a freaking chocolate factory tour, and he's just out of bed. Mm-hmm. Like, your daughter has been serving your family cabbage water for 20 years because you're so poor. I'll get off my soapbox on that.
Maybe everybody's
having a great day, except for you, Grandpa Joe. F you, Grandpa Joe.
I don't know. Maybe it was magic. Maybe did the book explain anything about it, or was Grandpa Joe
similar? They just have that weird bed.
With the good old family bed
in your face. I mean, what did you like?
I don't know.
Okay. So Willy Wonka, really, really loved it. I loved the songs.
You lose, Charlie.
I actually ended up having to get my hair cut because I would chew gum and then stick it behind my ear because I would try to save it
Reggie.
So I could do that, and they got caught in my hair, and I had to get my hair cut once because of it. Veruca Salt is my spirit animal. I want a golden egg for Easter.
She was the one that... No, who gets turned into a blueberry? Is that Veruca?
Violet Beauregard.
Oh, okay. Violet is the actress from Dark Shadows. I just learned this like 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
How cool.
She was a child in Dark Shadows, and she carries the show in the soap opera.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I'm going to have to watch some of that then. But yeah, I had to put that on there. That was one of those influential movies from my childhood that I watched a bunch. Next on my list is the first Muppet movie.
Yes.
When they are trying to get to New York to go audition for the Muppet movie. Or I don't know, meta. When Kermit is saying, it's a myth. And then the lady walks out and goes, yes. Because it sounds like he's saying this. Miss. I literally say that all the time. And Corey also loves this movie, so this is one of our bedtime movies that we put on when we're, you know, not super sleepy, but we need to fall asleep. Rainbow Connection, I love that song, but it's also, if you actually listen to the words to it, it's really sad.
I don't like sounds like that.
I know, but it's so good.
I know.
Muppet Movie is on there. I really, really love that.
I had a punk band that I listened to. It was like Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, I think, that did like punk covers of songs like that. They did Rainbow Connection.
Rainbow Connection,
it was
really?
So good.
I'll have to Google them so I can hear that. I'll love
there was,
to hear
there
that.
Was some punk band who did it.
Let's see here. Next on my list is one of them classic Disneys, which has already been mentioned, Thomas, the Aristocats. I understand that there's some racial stereotypes that are not good, and racial stereotypes are never good, and I will never endorse them at all.
No.
But The Aristocats is a really good movie!
But ladies don't start fights,
they finish them. Why does she have... Because I'm a lady, that's why! I say that also all the time. Even though I'm not a lady. Yeah, no, I'm not a lady. I don't know, just something about the romance between Duchess and O'Malley. Just really, I was just like, oh, he's just a dirty, rough street. Yes! also, I just, creme de la Edgar, the soup that he makes to put the cats to sleep. I really desperately wanted to taste that.
Me too.
That cracker that the mouse came out with and ate it. I was just like,
I love the mouse. I want that.
Which is also the guy who does the voice of Winnie the Pooh. So
the rah 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 boom, dear.
The lawyer that comes and visits her.
It's a lawyer. There was so much. There was so much nonsense in that movie that
it's just a nonsensical movie.
There's so many layers to it once you watch it when you're older.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's so many different like characters from other Disney movies that show up in all of the other Disney movies, like the dogs and stuff like that. Just The Race of the Cats, I really, really loved that movie. There are tons of other Disney movies from the 70s that could have made this list, but when I was looking at it, I saw that and I was like, nope, that one definitely has to come on here.
There were only like two animated Disney movies of that time, right?
In the 70s?
I don't know.
There were a lot of live action.
Yeah. There were like two The Rescuers and Robin Hood were like, and Aristocats were like the three animated ones, but the rest were like all live action.
So The Rescuers almost made the list instead of The Aristocats, but The Rescuers always made me cry.
Yeah.
I really hated that somebody would steal Penny to throw her in a hole to dig for... Like, I had a big problem with that as a kid. Like, I really hated that. Also, Bedknobs and Broomsticks also almost made my list, but it just got trumped just a little bit by the animation aspect of it. I love those cats. Okay. Next on my list also has already been mentioned, but Alien.
Yes.
The first in the franchise. Love Ripley. She's probably one of the most BA female heroes that are out there. I would call her a final girl.
Final girl? And just Xenomorph is just like a formidable...
My favorite thing about the original Alien, the first movie, is that nobody knew what was happening during that scene when the alien bursts out of his chest. None of them knew what was going to happen. So every single person's reaction is genuine.
Really?
When you watch that scene when the alien...
Yeah.
It bursts out of... the actor's name is John Hurt. When it bursts out of his chest. I don't even know if John Hurt knew what was going to happen either. I love that movie. Tom, we've already talked about it, so I won't hope...
We're gonna talk about Alien like a thousand more times on this podcast. Probably so. And it's just also timeless.
Number one on my list from the 70s movies. Shane stole it from me. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Wah, wah.
Rocky Horror is special to me because of my holiday VHSs that I had growing up. Also, in college, I played Brad for 2 years in a row.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I was Brad Majors. I wanted to be Rocky. Frankenfurt really, like, more than anything in the world. But I was an underclassman. And only upperclassmen got to be.
Aww.
Maybe we'll do a total nerd list Rocky Horror Picture Show After Dark episode.
Listen, I'm telling you, there's a local theater that I do stuff with. Some of you guys might know what I'm talking about. I really think in October we should do like what they do with Rocky Horror. Do it at Valley Cruces on outside. Play the movie on the background. Have everybody lip sync to the movie on stage and do the throwing stuff. I'm telling you, people will come from miles and miles away to do that.
Not a bad
idea.
The
only closest place that I know to do that is in Raleigh, which I have been to that theater more times than I can tell you to go and watch that show. I didn't pick up on all the sexual stuff until I was older when I was discovering my own sexuality of being gay, and that movie also made... Being gay and being a transsexual is not the exact same thing, but it still has that kind of queer stuff in it where Frankenfurt sleeps with Brad, and then he also sleeps with Janet, and then there was him sleeping with Eddie, and then him sleeping with Columbia. So it was just this, like, cluster of, like, I don't love parts, I love hearts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it kind of made it a little bit easier. Plus, there was a musical, and Susan Sarandon. Oh, my gosh. Rocky Horror is one of those shows that I've done, but I would kill, not literally, but I would desperately love to play Frankenfurter on an actual stage production one day. High production value. Shane, let's talk about it afterwards. Yes. But that's pretty much my, not pretty much, but that's my list. My honorable mentions, Robin Hood, the Disney cartoon one with that sexy fox, Robin Hood. I know that sounds weird, but I cannot be the only person as a young gay boy.
I don't think you are.
Who thought that fox was sexy.
No, I've read about this online. People think the fox is sexy.
Thank you. Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and then A New Hope. Which both of those I didn't remember existed until we were discussing before we started recording.
The 70s planted a lot of seeds.
The 70s seems like they planted all of the seeds because it doesn't seem like many people can do anything besides remakes these days.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why Hollywood needs me. But that's a different story.
Listen, Hollywood, if you're out there, message us at totalnerdlist@gmail.com and we will get you hooked up with a great writer, a great director. Yes.
We're actually a worldwide corporation already.
We're called the Whalen Corporation.
I'm pretty sure we have people listening to us in numerous countries.
We do.
Allegedly. I mean, that's what the computer records say of where our downloads are coming from, but I wonder if they're just bots. If you're listening to us from another country, please let us know.
And send me candy.
Speaking of sending stuff.
And cancel my student
loans.
Did you
receive something recently?
I did. Actually, I received a few things that I didn't think of while I was talking about my weekend nerd, but I have 16 new to me Goosebump books to sort, and I have not actually looked at them.
Are you going
to
do another unboxing
for
us? I think
we may.
You know what? I got a notification today that's happening for me.
What's that?
My helmet's on the way.
Yay!
It better be on the way.
So I'll be doing another unboxing of something Power Rangers related soon.
And he'll be recording the next episode wearing it.
Maybe not the whole time. It'll be hard to breathe.
Nope. Gotta do it.
Okay, got it.
There are no half measures on this podcast.
Yeah. But I also got my first solo board game, too, that I'm excited about.
I need to try those. Well, that was fun this week. Anyone y'all want to shout out before we head out?
I always want to mention Jordy Marie Games. You can find her on Facebook and Twitch. She does a lot of Animal Crossing, a lot of Sims. She's been making her way through the Resident Evil series. She just finished the Chris and Pierce storyline in Resident Evil 6 last night and has started on the Jake and Sherry storyline, I believe. I had to shut it off a little bit earlier than I wanted to, so I didn't actually watch her finish it.
Yeah.
Also, my buddy Jimmy, he owns Willow Mountain Woodwork. He does custom furniture here in the High Country. Makes some really cool stuff. You guys have seen his work in my house. The hot commodity right now that seems to be really popular for him are floating shelves.
Really?
His wife has been coming in and helping with their Etsy shop and doing stuff. One of the sisters, Tia or Tamara, ordered shelves from him at one point, too.
Really?
So that's I know Jimmy, and he sold them to her, so I'm claiming that.
Through the tangent of property, I know
them
whichever
as well.
Sister
yeah,
it was.
I don't know which one it is, but it's one of the two of them.
That's the only thing I picked up from math, guys.
But every week I want to mention them. Also, my inspiration for my cosplay stuff that's been going on for me in my life, Old Fashioned Nerd and Cassandra Cosplays, they're two of my favorite cosplayers out there right now.
And we need to get into that. We need to do some cosplay stuff soon.
Come over. I got two sewing machines. I got a serger. I've got tons and tons of fabric. We can make some stuff. But that's what I got. Anybody else?
Yes. I want to give a shout out this week to That Groovy Scoop Cast, who I got a package from with some goodies, because you guys know how much I love Scooby-Doo, and so of course I listened to a couple Scooby-Doo podcasts, but That Groovy Scoopcast, at the beginning of each season, they take fan suggestions for episodes from Scooby-Doo Where Are You that they should watch, and I did that once, and if they choose yours, you get a small prize. And
nice. And when are they coming on the podcast?
Hopefully soon.
We'd
love to do a crossover.
Upon your fame. Give us your fame!
No, we want to add our fame to yours.
Yes.
Is what Thomas meant to say.
Exactly.
We want to raise all the boats with the water.
We got all the bases.
But it's a fun podcast, and I got lots of goodies from them because it took a little longer than I think we all intended for them to get it out because of the pandemic. So I got a few more things that I wasn't aware of. Some really cool things.
You get some like jelly bracelets.
I did. That was like the main thing. And I got a pair of Scooby-Doo socks. And I got a button. And I got some stickers. Oh, goodness.
You
I got a keychain.
Let me have it.
No, it's mine. So yeah, that Groovy Scoob Cast. It's one of my favorites to listen to.
How long are their episodes?
Their episode is generally between the 30 and 40 minute mark.
Nice.
If they when they review a Scooby-Doo movie, they're a little closer to an hour, but...
A nice little car ride to work.
It is,
yes. That's cool. I'll have to start listening to
it. In each episode, they move to a different series, because I know a lot of Scooby-Doo podcasts go from beginning to end, which Scooby-Doo and Scooby-Don't are the only ones that is successful as that, or doing that method, because they're still going, where a lot of them peter out after, like, Scooby-Doo, where are you, unfortunately. But that Groovy Scoob cast, each episode, like, they start with Where Are You? And then they move to the one that came out the next year, which is the Scooby-Doo movies, then the Scooby-Doo show, then Scooby and Scrappy, then the Unfortunate Trio episodes, then the Foursome episodes, then 13 Ghosts, and so on.
And one more time, what's their podcast called?
That Groovy Scoob Cast.
Scoob Cast. Mm-hmm. And you can find them anywhere podcasts are found?
Anywhere podcasts are found. Kind of social like media, That Groovy Scoob Podcast. Basically. Yes, just like us.
More or less.
More or less, just like us.
We have a podcast?
Maybe.
Just social media, but...
Thomas, you got anybody you want to mention?
Well, obviously Movies with Gabriel.
Movies with Gabriel.
He gave us a list tonight, and he will hopefully be on with us. Bulbasaurion, our logo maker, awesome colored pencil artist that I love her work. You know, I know y'all are probably sick of the Pokemon stuff.
No, I will never be sick of Pokemon stuff.
Well, some people might, but but other than that, we did a 70s movie episode and none of us chose Godfather.
I'm not a big Godfather fan either.
I've never seen Godfather.
You've never seen... Okay, so my family has also never seen the Godfather movie, so we were talking about maybe doing that soon. So we'll have a lasagna Godfather.
Okay, so my wife wants to have a Sopranos-themed birthday party where everyone shows up and eats Italian food wearing, like, windbreakers.
Oh, I've got
like,
a velour tracksuit.
And, like, slacks with loafers.
I can't wait!
I'm so excited with big hair.
And gold chains.
Big hair
have,
and,
like six
crop
gold
tops.
Chains on.
I'm so looking forward to that, so maybe we'll put that on the TV.
Yeah,
because Tony Soprano was a movie fan.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
But y'all, I last shout out to you two.
Oh,
shit. I love doing this podcast.
It's pretty fun.
It is.
I guess you guys are pretty cool people. We do it every week. We also talk all day, every day, which is something that the listeners probably don't really realize that
nope.
We have a three-way conversation on Messenger that we're pretty much always like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, this is what I'm doing. Here's a picture of something.
Yes.
If there's something in my life that's happening and my family's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm sending something to the guys real quick. Give me a second. Like,
oh, I'm the guys?
Yeah, you guys are the guys. If I say the guys, I'm referring to you
I'm
two.
So happy
I've never been
at
the guys
guy.
Before.
I've never been a guys before. Oh!
Well, now you are. Well, this was a fun week.
It was.
I was a little nervous that 70s movies was going to be hard to do for us, but obviously it wasn't.
It was not.
But I think that every week. I'm like, oh no, this one is going to be the final one because we just can't, we won't be able to do this.
I've learned the key to a good episode is just a theme that I know nothing about.
Research it.
Yeah.
So much research.
Because then I just
work what I like into our themes somehow. That's my goal.
Well, listeners, if you enjoyed what you're hearing, you can find us on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the Total Nerd List.
Yes, Total Nerd List.
You can also find us on Gmail at TotalNerdList.com. No, I'm just kidding. It's TotalNerdList@gmail.com.
Yes.
Send us your list. Let us know what you want us to hear, what you want us to talk about, and what you want to hear, and maybe we can make it happen.
And send us your thoughts on Fear Street, if you hear this
Please.
At this point.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.